This week, the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs announced it was issuing 15 subpoenas to companies that promised debt settlement services, but often seem to be unable to deliver on that promise. Joining us now for today's second backstory segment is Jonathan Mintz, the DCA's commissioner. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Would most of our listeners be familiar with the names of these companies?
You know, probably not. And by virtue of these kinds of fly-by-night type industries, they change their names. We had a consumer with us at our press conference yesterday. The company he had been working with changed names at least twice over the course of the 2 months he was working with them. So I would doubt it.
So it's hard to trace back who owns and operates them?
We're working on it. We're chasing them down with our subpoenas, and we'll see what we can find.
And any of them connected to major banks, financial institutions,
well, we're gonna
credit card conglomerates?
We're going to find that out, too. Some of them are based here in New York. Some of them are elsewhere in the country. We've gotten complaints against debt settlement companies in Florida, Texas, California, so we're after them as well.
Some of them present themselves as nonprofit or in some way related to or affiliated with the government.
It is a classic approach to predatory business, which is to try to convince people that you are offering them something trustworthy when they are desperate for help.
And where are they offering these services? Are they advertising on television?
Well, not on NPR, of course, but I'm sure, you know, you see them on the buses and you hear them on other radio shows. And, you know, they're sort of everywhere. And some of them are loud and blaring and sort of patently unbelievable, even if appealing. We'll cut your debt in half. We'll stop the debt collectors. But some of them look very professional these days and look like they might be offering you some legitimate help.
Are there any that seem to be legitimate?
In our experience, the answer is no. In our experience, the model of debt settlement, and I hate to even use the phrase debt settlement because they're not in a position to settle your debts and they don't, the entire model is illegitimate.
What are they offering?
So here's what I like to say is they are offering people who are beginning to drown a rope, and it looks great, but when they grab the rope, it's a noose. They are offering them the promise that the drowning in debt could be over, that somehow something they're going to do is going to simplify this and reduce the amount of money that's owed, and they urge you to do something unbelievably dangerous that almost literally never works, which is to play chicken with your creditors. Stop paying. Don't talk to them. And at some point, they argue, your creditors will become so desperate that when we finally do call them, they'll take pennies on the dollar.
And meanwhile, you're giving us a fee to take care of this, and you're putting money into some kind of escrow account?
I have to say, so you're taking the fee, as awful as that is the least of the damage that they're causing. But yes, they take an upfront fee, which should be anybody's first indicator that nobody's looking to help them. They're just looking to take more money from them. And they urge you to start making payments into an escrow account.
Which they control or you control?
Well, the law says you control it, but in many instances, we have found companies have been reluctant to give people that money back. I was joined by a consumer yesterday at our press conference who we had to literally force this company to give him his money back.
Do we have any indication that they have actually negotiated with the people we owe money to?
There are a bunch of lawsuits around the country. Attorneys General, the FTC has gone after debt settlement companies. And the success rates that they have been able to determine are literally less than 1%. This model doesn't work. There are models that do work in trying to help people negotiate debt. And I'd love to, you know, talk about that in a few minutes. But this model doesn't. This model, it takes debt that is troubling you and explodes it, because not only are you now adding fees, but you're adding penalties and interest. These folks are going to start collecting debt, contacting debt collection companies because they're not hearing from you anymore. They're going to take you to court. They're going to freeze your bank account, garnish your wages, destroy your credit. I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster.
And they tell you not to tell them that you're with this debt collection agency?
They urge you not to speak in any way with the people to whom you owe money.
So how many complaints has your office received about these companies?
Well, not enough, frankly. I mean, we're hearing from hundreds, and when you add in debt collector-related problems, thousands of New Yorkers. But too often, I think, unfortunately, people don't realize that they've gotten into trouble, or when they do realize that they've been taken advantage of, frankly, people get a little embarrassed to reach out.
Because they feel like they've been taken.
They got taken advantage of. That's right.
Do we have any idea how much money consumers typically lose when they're dealing with these companies?
Well, as I say, I think the least harm that these companies can do is to just trick you out of an upfront fee. And maybe that upfront fee will be $100 to $300, which is a lot of money if you're drowning in debt. But as I say, I think that that's really the least of the problem. We declared a few months ago that this was literally the top consumer fraud of the entire year. This is a pervasive problem. And not surprisingly, because people are in so much trouble right now. One in five New Yorkers has over $10,000 of debt on their credit cards. People are drowning.
And New York is in better shape than a lot of places.
That's right.
Are we hearing complaints from Phoenix and Las Vegas and some of the other cities where or Tampa, where the problem is much worse?
Yeah, well, this is definitely a national problem, and there are there's pressure not just in Albany but also in Washington to try to put this industry out of business. Senator Schumer has an interesting bill that would essentially ban the model of upfront fee-based services. It's definitely a national problem.
Well, yes, you're describing it as simple fraud. So isn't that against the law to begin with?
Well, that's a great question. I do believe that this entire industry is illegitimate. And what we are going to do is we're taking these 15 particular debt settlement companies who we identified primarily through the kinds of complaints that we and some of our sister agencies were getting. And we are going to take a look very simply at here's what you promised and did you deliver? And we're going to use the tools that we've got regarding false advertising and that sort of thing. But also, I think there are criminal implications. Some at the low end of the spectrum, some of these people are literally stealing money. At the high end of the spectrum, they're just doing damage.
So at the low end, you're putting money into this escrow account, and then one day you're discovering that the company has disappeared and your money has disappeared along with it?
That's exactly right.
My guest is Jonathan Mintz, who is the commissioner of the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs. We're talking about the debt settlement services companies. 15 so far have been issued subpoenas. Does that mean that they're not going to run away?
Well, we'll see. We spent the last couple of days trying to actually get them to accept service of our subpoenas, and now we'll need to make sure that they cooperate.
Is this similar in any way to the payday lenders, which set up shops in poor neighborhoods and then charge large fees and interest for what they do?
Well, it's the right industry to link it to, because it's another industry that takes advantage of people's desperation. And the metaphor I would use there, I'm fond of metaphors lately, is that they're handing people who are drowning a bucket of water. You know, they're offering to make them another loan, this time a really expensive loan, which is obviously not what they need. There are ways for people to get help. And one of the things that I think government is uniquely able to do is offer a path through all of those ads that people are being bombarded by, and they don't know who to trust. You can trust the government. We're not trying to take advantage of you. We're providing these services for free.
Have you spoken to the people at Visa or MasterCard or American Express about this? Are they being approached by any of these companies?
There's been a lot of pressure on finance companies who are backing some of the worst financial products. You mentioned payday loans, which are terrible, and there's been a lot of scary movement in Albany over the last couple of years where the check cashers have been trying to destroy the usury limit here in the state in order to offer payday loans, something that we've been opposing vigorously. You also have the refund anticipation loans, where people are trying to take advantage of people's desperation to get their tax refund. And you're absolutely right. If you look upstream, these are being financed.
Well, the banks, the legitimate banks, sometimes charge 20-30% in interest. That strikes me as usury as well, and that's perfectly legal.
Well, I'm not here to defend the banks, I can tell you that. I do think that one thing that can be very interesting in the way that loans are structured is sometimes they're not called loans. They're called fees. Take a look at overdraft. Is that a loan or is that a fee? Because the law declares it to be a fee, it's not bound by things like the usury limit.
Are any of these things covered by the Frank-Dodd financial regulation bill?
I think there's a huge amount of opportunity for the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was created as part of that law, as you know, to really step in and talk about these kinds of businesses.
But that still is being blocked, isn't it, in Congress?
Well, they have not yet been able to assume their new powers, but they have been able, they are able to use the powers they inherited from existing agencies. So I'm hoping that they will be aggressive.
In any way, do you feel like you're doing the kind of thing the New York City Attorney General's office does when it goes after Wall Street malfeasance?
You know, our vantage point has been to try to protect New Yorkers who are struggling with their finances. And from a consumer perspective, in the last few years, and unfortunately, it's exactly the right place for us to be. We have moved into the financial services marketplace because that's where so much harm is being done.
So what happens to somebody who has been caught up in this? If you don't pay your debt in 180 days, it's usually sold to a third-party collection agency.
Either sold or referred, right? It may be that the person who owes you money just hires a debt collector to collect on their own behalf. But one way or another, when you stop paying your bills, the pressure will mount.
And then they start sending you these letters that are threatening you.
And they're adding
and if
fees.
And you're ignoring it because you've been told to ignore
because
it? That this company is going to take care of it for you?
That's exactly right. And then it just really gets bad. Again, people literally are having their bank accounts frozen. They're having their wages garnished. It's just disastrous.
In 2009, Maryland tried to outlaw these kinds of companies altogether. It didn't succeed?
I'm not familiar about what happened in Maryland, but I should take a look at that because I know that we have been supportive of efforts in Albany to ban the upfront model of this work.
So you said that you do have other solutions. Here I am. I'm drowning in debt.
Oh, I'm so glad you
asked.
I'm
desperate.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. I
come to you personally say,
yes,
Can you lend me a couple of bucks, Jonathan?
My home phone number here. Mayor Bloomberg recently announced that we are now publicly funding something that we had piloted with private dollars called Financial Empowerment Centers. We have over 20 one-on-one professional free financial counselor centers across the entire city. People are going in the thousands, and they are sitting down one-on-one, showing their papers to these counselors. And here's what the counselor does, which is legitimate and it works. They pick up the phone, they talk to the people to whom you owe money, and they negotiate your debt and a payment plan. We've added up for the, let's say, 13,000-14,000 people we've seen in just the last couple of years, we've added up how much debt we've reduced for those New Yorkers. It's almost $5 million. If you work with the people you owe money to, you can work on your debt.
Now, this is to some degree a legacy of the credit deregulation of the 1990s. And you would think that there would be people in Congress and the state legislature who would be saying, well, we allowed this thing to get out of hand, and that's why we're having these problems, and we have to redress the issue.
It's the pendulum. It's the flip side.
So what happens when you speak to those politicians?
It's so interesting. It's the flip side of the access to credit problem, right? The problem used to be that people with very low incomes couldn't get access to credit. Now we have found, we've done some very intensive studies around neighborhoods in New York, people have on average 3 to 5 credit cards, even if they don't have a bank account. So access to credit is the least of anybody's problems.
Are we also seeing people with student loans and
Student loans, mortgages, of course. And by the way, a lot of people are also being drawn into some of these proprietary schools, these training schools that will get you to take out the last of what you're eligible to take in public student loans. And then you're saddled with those loans. The schools are bogus. You're not getting the degree. I mean, there are really lots of ways that people can be taken advantage of. And that's why I think it's been so important for the Bloomberg administration not to just go out there and say the sky is falling, but to really offer an alternative.
We have about 30 seconds. You've issued these 15 subpoenas to these companies. And what's going to happen next? Do they go to court?
Well, what I'm hoping is that they will cooperate. They'll submit the documents. We will pore through them and take a look at whether or not they have made good on those promises. If not, we'll hold them accountable.
And then you can take them to court.
Well, let's see what we can do.
Meanwhile, we suggest that if you are thinking about going to a debt settlement service, you think again.
Don't do it. Call 311.
Jonathan Mintz is the commissioner of the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs, and I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about this situation, this very sad situation on today's backstory.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
On tomorrow's show, Chuck Lavelle, the longtime keyboardist for the Rolling Stones and their musical director, talks about his rock career and his work as an environmentalist. And then a look at the evolution of the English language and how that shaped our culinary history. Also, journalist Nina Darnton on her debut novel, a thriller called An African Affair. Plus, Please Explain is all about lightning and... thunder. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Higgins, the executive producer, and we had help today from Christina Maldonado, Rachel Hartman, Russell Jacobs, and contributing producer Barbara Kahn. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.